Okay, I'd like to call the meeting of Town Discovery Bay CSD to order. And we'd like to have a pledge of allegiance. We join Director Fleet in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
President Steele, not here. Vice President Pease.
Here.
Director Graves.
Here.
Director Lee.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Okay, at this point, we'd open up to public comments. Public comments can be spoken of about anything that's not on the agenda. Do we have any public comments? Seeing none, we'll close public comments. Area agency reports, the Sheriff's Department, please.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Staying cool.
See you, Park Becker.
For last month, we had 516 calls for service with about 48 reports taken. You can see what we have there. Looking over, the catalytic converter, that was the vehicle parts that were taken. Two of them on that, it was a totally run. And it took a little over the night. I still see the identity theft coming, the 5305 identity theft. We're seeing three of those, we're seeing three or four. Every single one. And I know we had that mail theft about 2 months ago. Foresee that this happening. So again, I want everyone to have your credit report run, take a look at it, double check all your stuff, just to make sure. Other than that, is there any particular questions or concerns that you guys might have?
Tony, on the identity theft, is that mail? People picking mail up?
You know, that's the only thing that I could think would be a link to that, if you have a lot of mail theft, and just people are taking the mail, opening it up, and if you know how to get these little credit card companies here at Interrupting Bay, pull that out, maybe do something on that. Whether or not that's linked to it, I don't know, because once it's there, it's there. The main thing for me is to have you guys check the credit report. You see something that's not right, not there. If you catch it quick, usually it's nothing on you, because you file your report, and you send out your letters, notifications, and closing accounts, and all that stuff. The key is credit card fraud and stuff like that, same thing. The key is your ATM cards. I know some banks, if you don't report within a 24, 48 hour time frame, they'll charge you, you won't get your money back. The credit cards are being in that part, 30 to 60, 90 days, depending on what your charge-offs are on that card.
I've had a couple of people ask me, and a friend of mine is also working over there, said something about it. Have a lot of fights get unwind at the wine bar?
You know, I don't think they have anything.
I know they had one last Saturday night again on a parking lot, and I've heard there's been several.
The only thing I have on here that I read was a 18-year-old kid that was getting some kind of a fight with someone. But that was after a party at someone's house. And then the other incident was they responded to one individual with cuts and bruises, and he had to, you know, seek medical in that aspect, but of course he was in an unknown location, unknown people. So other than that, I haven't seen or I haven't read anything coming across having these guys respond to it. Have you?
No. I just keep curious. I know that the one guy last week pulled feral pulls. He got in a fight in a parking lot last.
And I know, you know, I'm not saying it didn't happen or not, but we didn't hear about it. And most of the time you don't hear about it, nobody calls about it. So, and being in that location, I mean, you only got a few houses right there across the street, and if they can hear or see them, we can get the calls.
That's what I asked me about, because people live right across.
Yeah, nothing.
Sometimes you may want to wash it. I don't.
Well, I know with the guys, when we have that little annex right there, they're in and out of there all the time constantly. So, and I know that these guys know, because I harp on them all the time, because I get from the shopping center. That they drive through, always look in the corners and stuff, because some of the kids like to hang out there, and when you got a bunch of kids, they start climbing on stuff and breaking stuff, so and they know to kind of shoot kids away if they're just playing skateboarding back there. So.
Just for general information, how often is the substation staff.
You know, it's not a full-time office.
Right.
I mean, it is, we have that space there, but these guys' office, it's in their car, so they get dispatched everywhere. I'm usually there Monday through Thursday. I can be there anywhere between 7:30 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon. Depending if I have a meeting or not, or if I have to be somewhere else. So it's hit and miss, and that's why we have that sign in front of the dispatch number. And I try to teach people and tell people, you know, don't run over there for help, call dispatch first, so.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else, guys?
Fourth of July, fireworks.
Just another day. Just another Friday night on Discovery Bay. They do it every weekend.
We have to, you know, I can say this much. I know, you know, if you see it going on, you can call it. Call it and let our guys get out there. And like I said, with this type of situation, Dave will tell you, he's got to see that. He's got to witness that person actually lighting the fireworks. Not to say he drives up, see him coming out of the house, get knocked on the door and say, hey, you got fireworks over here? And if he sees them, then he can confiscate them and take them, but that's about all he can do. The site, he's going to have to see him light that fuse, and you know how hard that's going to be, because his car lights up more than the fireworks.
So what you're kind of saying, man, is it's an unenforceable law. There's a law in Costa County.
I'm sure it was unenforceable. It's enforceable. If it's just like running a stop sign. If he sees you run the stop sign, he'll give you a citation.
But if you're in Brentwood at dark on Friday night, and the fireworks are on the D dock in Discovery Bay, you're not going to see it. And if I see him from my porch every Friday night. I think that Rick sees him from his deck every Friday night. You have to be there at the time that they blow him off, which is dusk. I mean,
it's the same
dusk
thing
every Friday night. Every Friday night to do it, like clockwork. At 9 o'clock, the fireworks go off.
I feel your pain. I really do.
Well, why can't you have a car there then? Why can't an officer be there at 9 o'clock on Friday night to try to catch that, instead of just saying we didn't see him?
And I wish we could have a car just sit there and all night. And
no, you don't have to do that. I guarantee you that by 9:15, fireworks are going on.
Like I said, the officers might be on another call. We might have got another call for something else. We got that.
It goes on every weekend. And it's all, and you respond to it.
I see it all the time. I see it all the time, and I've been here 5 years, and it's always been the number one. You got half the city that's complaining about it, and the other half are setting them off. And like I told Rick earlier, I said, you know what, the fire chief or the fire department has a lot more power than we do. They can cite the homeowner, period. They don't have to see anybody light anything off. All they got to see is fireworks coming out of the building. So I don't know if you can contact the fire department. Maybe we can work in a collaboration or whatever.
Now that might be a good point.
Do that. But honestly, I mean, our officers will get 25 calls. On that night alone, I think we had 29 last year for 4th of July. Okay, and when we had, I think we had 4 bodies out here just in the Discovery Bay trying to deal with that. So one call, that's going to tie up that officer for probably 15, 20 minutes. So you got 29 of them, and they're in limbo waiting. So when he's finished with that, he's got to run to the next one and run to the next one. I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just stating facts. I mean, you know what it's going to take? And I'll be honest with you. It's going to take you watching your neighbor light that fuse, and when he arrives, you say, John Smith, that lives at that house, lit the fuse, and I want to do a citizen's arrest. And then you do that. And you sign the form, and you'll go over there. And
I was going to go out with my camera. I was going out with my phone and take pictures of him.
You're willing to do that. Is there anything else you want to add on the firearms issue? Is that something that's what you can do? If the officer's not.
I assume you're calling every time.
No, I don't call anymore. I did. That was 5 years ago. I quit calling 5 years ago because I understand the law, but my frustration is that we do have regular patrols that go through here. Why can't we just schedule a patrol for the time when the fireworks go off? That's really my point.
And maybe we need to look into doing that.
I mean, and I understand it. You know, I don't understand. I have no idea what you guys' schedule's like on a Friday night. So I may be talking completely without any idea of what I'm talking about. But it's very frustrating when you're there. And where it's more frustrating is that I get phone calls from our veterans in town who are suffering from PTS, and they hear these fireworks going off, and it's causing major issues within their household. And not to mention the animals. Not mine. My cats grew up with it. They're used to it. But it's causing some real issues for some veterans in town.
And I see that discussion. I see that discussion on a lot of your media outlets. I really do. And I'm just explaining to you what we can do and what we're capable of doing. And until we can go beyond that scope, I mean, our hands are tied.
I think your comments about trying to work with the fire department.
I like that, yeah.
To park a truck over there, and then based on schedule, if you're not out somewhere, possibly just on
around 9,
try to be around the area.
These guys know that they start going off right when it starts getting dusk out. They're going to start hearing them, and they're going to see them. They hear them and they see them. But when you're sitting here in this location, and you see something happening, so you drive over there, what usually happens, especially if they're in the street. Now, if they're on the dock, how are they going to see it from that side of the street? Unless they're, and I know, I think 2 years ago, somebody else was were peeking over the fences. I know they're over here. And he did sight some people, and they did catch them. And then with that said, I mean, we are doing the best we can. I can't make excuses or whatever. I wish we could have the officers just sitting in one location.
What makes it true?
It's a manpower issue, we understand.
And I think the unfortunate part is that there, the people, I don't live, they're across the bay from me, mostly, they're mostly on was it Marlin?
End of Marlin.
But the unfortunate part is that some of the other neighbors don't take some action. Because they know, I mean, they're right next door to them. They know who's setting off the fireworks. And nobody does anything about it.
And,
you know what, it might take just an adult approach of knocking on the door as a group of homeowners and say, hey, yeah, here you do this. This is what our concerns are. Please don't do it this year. Has anyone tried doing that?
Then
that's when they, you know, that's when you go into the next step, which I mentioned earlier about, hey, I warned you, and this is what we're going to have to do. You're going to build about it and go on to the next step.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
Happy 4th of July.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be out of town, so you won't hear from me.
Is there a CHP delegate here this evening? About East County Fire? About supervising people's office?
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Couple things. Invasive treatment, as you know, has been going on since the end of March. All other site treatment site areas outside of Discovery Bay have stopped as of the end of May. But based on studies and symptoms and whatnot, they have valued that Discovery Bay still continues to need treatment at this time. And so they are extending the treatment through the week of September 21st. So it will continue until then, which is good news. So hopefully you'll see some of that be alleviated. And the other thing I have tonight is I can leave you with some flyers. We have to go. Supervisor Pipo is taking a lead in regards to disposing of unneeded medication, and we have a disposal bin located in our office now. One of three new ones out in Far East County. So anybody who has medication that they don't want to just flush down the toilet or anything like that, we have a safe, protected environment for you to just drop it off. It's right on Walnut Boulevard, is where our office is.
Alicia, can people drop off sharps and things like that?
No, not there. Just the medication. And generally speaking, you know, they want it in a bag. So if you come in and you basically, whoever drops it off, we just show you where the bin is and you open it and you drop it yourself. So there's nobody taking it for you, nobody taking it in the background. They do it all themselves so that they know that it goes in there. That's it. Any questions for me?
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a good 4th of July.
All right, we'll have the committee liaison reports. Trans planning, county planning, code enforcement.
Yeah, code enforcement met last Thursday. And I know they've been out in Discovery Bay recently because I ran into them yesterday, and they're going to be out again tomorrow doing some pretty heavy-duty enforcement on trailers in a certain part of town that if I disclose it, it will give it off and everybody will know to move their stuff. So in any event, the meeting was primarily having to do, again, with trailers and signs and that sort of thing. The issue with that, the one hoarder house over on the other side of town, over off of Newport, continues with no action at this point in time with that. There's health, senior health services have been called on. I don't know if any of you've been over and seen the house, but it's pretty distressful, so.
Thank you. Special districts report. We haven't met, we'll meet at the end of the month. Any presentations?
No, the only thing I do want to say is, since the meeting is starting, that this represents our first day of the year, July 1st, which is our new year. So happy new year. And we missed the big New Year's Eve blast last night, so.
Just fireworks.
That's right, we're fireworks.
Okay, we're going to move to the consent calendar. I'll make a motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And it's approved. Okay, item G, public hearing, proposal to amend ordinance number 25 pertaining to the emergency drought regulations. Manager Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President, members of the board, public. This item was initially brought to the board back in September of last year, and the board adopted ordinance number 25, established emergency drought regulations here in Discovery Bay. On October 4th, 30 days after that ordinance went into effect. As we all know, water year 1450 is shaping up to be the driest year on record. And back in February, the governor called for an executive order requiring mandatory water restrictions throughout the state of California. In addition to the regulations passed by the state in 24, those new regulations that the governor proposed were implemented on May the 5th of 2015. And staff recommends that those new regulations be included into an amended ordinance number 25. In the staff report, those new regulations are underlined, so those are the only ones I'm going to address at this point in time. Essentially, the new additions would be that the application of potable water to outdoor landscapes during and within 24 hours of measurable rainfall would be prohibited. The irrigation of potable water of landscapes outside newly constructed homes and buildings in a manner inconsistent with regulations or other requirements established by the department. By the California Building Standards Commission and the Department of Housing and Community Development are prohibited. And the irrigation of potable water, ornamental turf on public streets, medians, of which we have three here in Discovery Bay. And the serving of drinking water in a restaurant, cafeterias, bars, that sort of thing, unless specifically requested. The ordinance does also include some additional language with respect to the enforcement provisions and the manner in which fines can be charged and collected, as well as the public's appeal procedure that they can go ahead and pursue if they would like to do so, if they were to receive a notice of violation. The board can always adopt more stringent regulations if you chose to do so. But what's in the draft amended ordinance 25, the staff's recommendation at this point, if the board adopts it this evening, it will become effective 30 days from today on August the 1st, 2015.
And we need to open a public hearing. Yeah, any public comments?
That's correct. You're actually going to, you can open the public hearing, and the motion is actually to introduce and waive the first reading of the amendment to the ordinance.
You've got it.
July 1 as the adoption of the ordinance.
We get a definition of measurable rainfall.
Probably enough to stay in a measurable rain.
Enough that can be measured.
The other side is, I think it says 48 hours. I thought I heard you say 24.
It can't, though, because you've got your 2 weeks.
For verification of it. 48. Okay, I thought
yeah, within 48 hours of measurable rainfall. Okay. During and within 48 hours.
Is there a first and second reading?
We'll close
from the amended period. Ordinance.
Are there any questions of staff?
First and second, right?
Seeing none, do I hear a motion?
Full approval.
Yeah. Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Second.
Unanimously passed. Okay, business and action items. Manager Howard, rate study, Charles Well.
You've got on there that I got that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President, members of the board. Get to my, there we go. This evening, we have two separate rate studies in a consecutive order. Normally, in the past, we have adopted rate studies at one time, a water and a combined wastewater rate study. For the purposes of our new studies, we're going to do them separately. They will be done independently, but they will be eventually blended into a final document at some point in time in the future. Back on March 20 of 2013, the board entered into a contract with Barter Wells to conduct a four-year water and wastewater rate study. That March 13 study covered the period from fiscal 13-14 through 16-17. So this is coming to you a year earlier than originally anticipated. At the time the current study was implemented, the board had not made a decision yet as to whether or not water meters would be rolled out system-wide. With that direction given by the board back in March, and the need to conserve 20% by 2020 required by the state, it's appropriate at this time to update our water rate study that will evaluate the impacts of water meter installation on the town's entire network, as well as the financial impacts on the town's water enterprise program. As I noted, they'll be done separately and concurrently. The rate study will include the development of customer and expense projections for each year of the period. We can do anywhere from a 1 to a 5 year rate study. It's not much more to do years 2, 3, 4, and 5 once you get through the first year. Allison's nodding her head. And so the scope of work is attached. The fee for this project is $25,000. And both Tom and Allison from Barter Wells are here to be able to address any questions that you may have. They've also recently gone through the process of rolling out water meters in two separate communities, the Denaire Community Services District, as well as the Malaga County Water District. So they recently worked on those two transitions as well. So if you have any questions with them, now would be that appropriate time.
Is this a one-year study? $25,000 to $40,000 for two?
Like I said, it could be for 1 year or it could be for all 5 years. I recommend doing a 5 year study.
Should you brought this to us with an amount for the 5 years?
That's
what I'm asking. Is this for 1 year or is it for 5 years?
No, it's
going to read it. Just shows 1 year is what I'm looking at. That's what I'm asking.
When we have the representatives come answer that question.
Well, Mr. Vice President, the board is. I'm Tom Gaffney and Allison Lovich, and I both worked on the project.
Is that a mic on?
And
yeah.
Can you hear me there?
No, we can't. I can't.
I don't know if that's actually on.
No more.
It's on.
Well, we did work on your project before, and this would be generally we do these for not less than 4 years, probably 5, and we recommend. Whatever the board wants, but usually 5 years, so you don't want to go through this a lot. And what's happened all throughout the state is the drought situation. And what we found, whenever there were droughts, there have been several situations of droughts. And I think the worst thing that could happen is an agency declares a conservation program and then doesn't adjust their rates, and then the revenues go down because people are conserving, and then come back and adjust the rates. The best way to do it is you declare a 20% cutback or rationing, then approve a rate increase, which if you do ration, your charge stays the same. And you can do, in other words, the rate goes up, but you use less water, so the amount of the monthly bill stays the same. Allison, did you want to add any
So in regards to the meter rollout, there's a few different ways that we can evaluate that. One would be potentially doing a meter transition charge on the bill to recover the cost of the meters themselves in the transition process. That's one option we can look at. Another potential issue is the revenue volatility. So those folks were being charged a fixed charge. You could rely on that revenue every month. But now they have a meter rate, their water use might go way up, it might go way down. We don't exactly know how that revenue might come out once people are metered. And so we want to look at maybe parcel size, average number of people per home, and try and estimate the water use and the potential revenues as they're transitioned.
In Denaire, in the
Central Valley, they went from 0 meters to 100% metering. And so Allison and I were working on a study, and we were worried that we didn't know the water consumption. We don't know what it's going to be. And we know that once they get metered, probably it will lower the water consumption. So the solution was to have a pretty low volume rate to start out with, maybe for a couple of years, and then see how much water people are using and have it gradually increase, which is another alternative you might consider. And you do have part of the tower discovery that is metered, so you do have some information here, which was more than we had in Yellow Valley. You didn't have any consumption information there.
Based on your past knowledge, would you feel justified saying that the current portion of town that is metered, and we know what that is, would be representative of the homes size-wise, et cetera?
It's going to, eventually it is. Eventually it will be representative, but it's the initial period, which is the hard part. And we've seen a lot of examples where wastewater agencies go to billing based on water consumption. And I can think of a couple, right where I live, overestimated water consumption, and the revenues were severely impacted. So you've got to be careful about assuming too much. Eventually, sir, I think that the initial period, the first couple of years, well, we're seeing what happens.
Right.
A couple of questions, kind of, if this is for RLLs or for management, but we've got sort of two variables here. We've got the drought impacts and how that's going to affect water and wastewater rates, and then the issue of metering and the full town to meters. So you've got two variables going there. So I think in terms of just managing a utility here, I mean, the sooner we get on this track, the better. So my question is how long is this study going to take? When do you think you'll have a report ready for the board? And I guess for Rick is, when will the board be taking action to implement any recommendations that would follow from that?
Generally, it takes about 60 days, and then there's an approval period. So we would think about that. And we're familiar with a lot of your data. That's a help. And there is a 45-day, Prop 218. So it takes about 60 days. It's about a 60-day study, and unless you send us back for more alternatives, which is always worthwhile sometimes. But then there's a 60-day period about with the mailing the notices, a 45-day period, and then the public hearing. So 4 months.
So time is of the essence.
Director Lee, the study that they're going to be conducting at this point, the board can choose once the study is complete whether or not they want to implement those rates at this time, or they want to wait till the end of this current new fiscal year to do it for next year. But what it will do is it will then, it will establish the basis for those folks that are not metered, how the system works. So the reason why we decide to separate them out is because when we go to do our public education in our outreach in the fall, we'll have this data with them, and we're going to explain it to them. So once that is done, once the study is done, we'll come back to the board and say, okay, how do we want to address the rate structure? Do we want to move forward the rate structure now? It's difficult when you have meter residents and unmetered. If everybody was metered at the same time, it would be really straightforward. But when you have two different platforms, so to speak, and your property taxes is one. And so we're going to get into the weeds with respect to when people do get meters and they get the meters in place, how they're going to come off. Are they going to stay on them? Are they going to stay on the property taxes through the end of the fiscal year? We'll bill them the way we did it previously with a dummy bill, if you will. I believe is what we did. Give them an idea of what the consumption was, what the pricing would be, that sort of thing. So those are the kinds of things that this is going to look at, and then as we come back to the board with the report itself, we'll make those decisions as to how it evolves and how you guys want to move forward with that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Is there any impact to the county with regards to how we handle trickling it, pardon the pun, having a group just trickle in little by little as we try to cut off the tax base and add the metering rate? And what does that do for the lag with the county? And how is the county going to respond to that? Because we have to rely on them for the cutoff date to be accurate. I mean, we need to take all that into consideration when we make that decision.
Cutoff date is in early August, or about the first 10 days in August. We have to have all of our information to them. That's why what we would probably do is continue to charge for the next year. As if you go on meter, if you get a meter this month, for example, let's say if you get a meter in September, you will stay, you've already paid your tax, you're in the system, you will continue to pay your
the tax bill is already going to be due to you in December and April.
Yes. But if you get metered in June, you're going to go on to billing in July.
So what you're saying is that the county does, we could put 1,000 homes into the county this year and 3,000 next year and 500 the following year, and it's no impact on them whatsoever. Okay.
You know what we did is mail dummy bills. Like if somebody gets a meter in September, then read the meter for them and say, here's what your bill would be. So, you know, you're still collecting it along with the property tax. But that's a help to square the way how much more. You get some use to what the bill would be.
Well, I think it's good for budgeting purposes for a family anyway. They would have an idea of what's going to occur, I guess. They could also see at that point, too, how conservation is going to affect it on a bill. But that won't be true because we're just going to have to rate anyway, so it really won't help them too much. That's where education comes into play. They're going to have to understand they're still paying their fair share of the water bill, no matter how much water they're consuming.
Did we put this in the
how many scenarios as far as meter rollout will you give us some advice on? In other words, how Google
funds? You know, we can make as many as you want, within reason, but it doesn't help the decision-making process. Probably the best is two or three.
Right.
Because you get so many different alternatives. That
that's basically what I had back in mind. Yeah. If
you do 10, it's not.
Too many. I would think three would be from my standpoint.
Then we bring it to the board and we first try it out with staff and see how it seems to work. Then bring it to the board and we get feedback. And maybe we can do it right now.
Yes. And then another, just an educational piece for me, if we can share it. I'm not sensitive to the cost that firms like yours charge. So just from a scale standpoint, East Bay Mud, as an example, much bigger operation than we are. If they were doing something like this, what type of a fee or range of fees do you normally see there?
We did the water rate study for East Bay Mud not too long ago. I think it's in the six figures, just for water.
Okay, thank you.
Looks real reasonable. Is that the emotion you were looking for?
Yes, it was. You know, our job is to watch the money.
The reaction was pretty cool.
Okay. So let me ask the question I asked earlier. I'm fine with this. I just want to the study that we're doing before tells us ready. Is this for a 1-year study or a 5-year study?
It's your decision. We would recommend at least 4 years and possibly 5, not 1.
Okay,
we would recommend 4.
Why don't we just, so we can get this same price.
That's what you wanted to know.
Same price. So you would like 5 years.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All those approved, yes. 5-year study, thank you. We have public comment.
We just had one. The other scenario to think about is the homes that are on meter today have both a front yard and a rear yard. About 2,400 homes in Discovery Bay do not have a rear yard. So the consumption will probably be a little less if you're trying to measure a group that's metered now, not metered, with the exception of the golf course and a few other homes in here. But most homes here, the backyards are water, and they don't have turf on there. So it'd be just really the front yard, maybe a side yard plant here and there.
That's what Allison was mentioning about lot size.
Yes.
So it'd be a little different. So don't try to compare what a home that has a meter today, that consumption, let's say they're using 20 EDUs today, units today, the home on Discovery Bay probably will not. But the other thing is, they're more energy efficient, the newer homes are that have meters versus the older homes, which the majority are probably not energy efficient. In that sense, they probably have toilets that waste their water 1.6 gallons than a shower heads, probably use a little bit more water. So it's going to be a juggle, but I just want you to be aware of that.
I think this is probably not their first goal.
Except for the deep water lot.
She has the procedure, she can email to her and Dan.
Any other public comment?
That was what we.
Seeing none, I'll close public comment period. Any other questions by the board? Please, thank you.
All right, I'd like to make a motion to approve a rate study with Bartle and Paul's Associates, and I think the amendment should be a 5-year study, not to exceed $25,000.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And motion carries.
So I'd like to make a motion for item H2 for the wastewater rate study, again, 5 years, according to the recommendation from staff.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay.
Well, you took some of my thunder away then. I was going to share some stuff with you.
Well, right here is probably a good time to do that. Informational items, please feel free.
Well, yesterday, thank you, Tom and Allison. Yesterday, you're aware of the filter project, so we can start using some of our reclaimed water on site. That was turned on yesterday. And this is a bottle of our treated waste effluent that goes into the Delta every single day, 24/7, 365. And the state wants us to get it even cleaner. It looks like it's hard to do, but evidently we're going to be doing that. Correct, Gregory?
That's right.
So anyway, I just wanted to have a little show and tell for you with that.
I just heard on KCBS this morning, they're giving out reclaimed water all you want.
Incredible. They all are. It's recycled, it's purple pipe water, Title 22 water. We don't have the ability to do that yet. I've actually worked out an arrangement with Iron House, that we might be able to get some water from them that we can go ahead and put on our facilities, on our grass and turf. We can't use this. And the state has turned us down, and I know that Greg Harris spoke to both a department manager and the department director, and the response was no and heck no, so can't do it. So $10 for 4,000 gallons.
Thank you.
To us for.
One guy's got a monster tank in the center, but he found 4 times a week to fill.
He's got a nice green grass.
Yeah.
Okay. Any director's reports? Manager's report.
The only other thing I have, other than that we will be closed on the 4th of July, on July the 3rd, recognizing it on July the 3rd, is that we have our numbers for last 3 months for water conservation in Discovery Bay. April was 25%, May was 44%, and June was 40%. So we're certainly exceeding the 32%, which is very good news, because when we get into the cooler months, when you do get some precipitation, they're still going to make us comply with 32% from the beginning of the time frame to the end of the time frame. So things are going well there. Unfortunately, our turf is suffering. Well 7 is going to be turned on. They're going to be connecting the power on July the 7th, next week, I believe on Tuesday at 8 p.m. It's going to affect approximately 274 homes. Will be without power for approximately
8 hours.
8 hours.
That's the reason they started at 8 p.m. originally. We were supposed to do that yesterday at 8 a.m., but being so hot, they canceled it because their conditions would be off. And so they're delaying it. And until next Tuesday at 7, at 8 p.m. rather, until 5 a.m.
So if you hear any news or any complaints, that's the reason why. In order for them to connect the power to our well site, they need to bring in the new facilities and connect them all.
Right. So they're going to do it from 8 p.m.?
It's going to start at 8 p.m. at night till 5 in the morning. They're generally, that's the worst case, they block out an 8-hour window.
What do you do in the morning to the evening?
There's a lot of heat during the day. You don't want to leave people without
air conditioning.
You can't leave without air conditioning. It's 100 degrees outside.
We've been battling with PG&E on this. This was supposed to be in 2 months ago.
Yeah, that's correct. And it's mainly going to affect the homeowners on Discovery Bay West near Point of Timber Elementary School. Our wastewater lift station at Newport will be out, and homes along Newport all the way up to Capstan in that area will be out.
Is that?
That's why I'm letting you know now.
Is that why the one home across the street from the well, the front yard, is still excavated? So the PG&E has to run.
I feel for that gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been a real trooper. He's going to get a nice little thank you basket from us when the project is all done. He really let us in to destroy his yard and was have at it. We know we need it.
So are we making sure that we're contacting each and every one of these people that are going to be affected?
PG&E does. PG&E sends out a notice.
They have to do that 14-day notice to everybody, so they have, you know, like I said, they were scheduled for yesterday. Now it got delayed until Thursday the 7th.
PG&E has to notify that because you've got dialysis.
Diet machines, right.
We need to make all alternate arrangements, but it's through PG&E.
District Lead.
Just a quick report. You've met one of my associates before, Curtis Keller. He's back again tonight. He'll be following me for a bit, maybe to Discovery Bay every once in a while. He lives out this way, so should I need a vacation, get sick, fall off the face of the earth, I need a replacement pinch hitter. So that's what Curtis is here for tonight. He also drafted the ordinance that you have. So.
Subcommittee updates. Finance committee. Communications committee. The Parks and Rec. We did have a brief meeting. Dan, our man, has now left the scene, and there's a. I met him briefly. I think he's extremely competent and will help us tremendously.
There's a lot of experience of growth to the plate.
Yeah. So I think very good selection by the manager.
Well, he's only an interim. Just to help us get through the transition.
Just drain his brain as much as we can, and we'll go forward from there. Water wastewater.
Next week. Oh no, we met.
We're working on some good projects to try to get the state on board with giving us a break on denitrification. If we give them a break on going early on the denitrification, so we can go a little later on the
filtration.
We're trying to compromise with the state. I think we've got some indications. Did he leave?
Yes.
There's some indications that there's some positive feedback on that. So I think we continue to establish a good relationship with the state as best as we can to be able to work with them so we don't get some unrealistic
issues.
Yeah.
And I think also what it helps us is it gives us a little more time to get our financing in order. We can start financing earlier, whatever the plan ends up being, but hopefully it's going to give us a couple more years to get our financing in order.
And as a reminder, we have a meeting coming up when
15.
Next
15th to 5:30.
15th to 5:30. Okay.
15th, 5:30. Talk to myself. Waterways committee. Any correspondence?
Okay, was mentioned.
Future agenda items.
I have a question. Did I miss something? Are we not doing the Ravens with them today?
It was on consent.
It was.
Oh, you didn't miss it. You just didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it.
Future agenda items. Okay, seeing none. We'll adjourn the meeting at 7:44.
Close to a record.
Close. You know who has a record?
Brian at 38. Brian.